Yes, here I am, freestanding on my two hind legs, able to appear before you. That title of being a freestanding archdeacon has caused a lot of merriment as I go around the place, I can tell you. But what it means, as Ricky was saying, is that I am freed from having particular responsibility for a particular chaplaincy in that large area of Europe that I've been appointed to serve, and I'm therefore free to have the great privilege of going round sharing in Sunday worship at chaplaincy among the 76 congregations for which I have some sort of responsibility. And so this Sunday I am here in Prague, and I'm very glad to be here to share with you in this service. Last Sunday morning, last weekend indeed, I was freestanding in Athens. And so it was that last Saturday morning I found myself in Victoria Square in Athens. It was full of people, as you'd expect in a city centre square on a Saturday morning. But you soon realized, as you stood there, that these were not the people you'd expect. In fact, there were people who just arrived in Athens that morning from the island of Lesbos. And they were waiting for criminal gangs who were hanging around on the edge of the square to tell them how they'd be taken on the next stage of their journey towards their hoped-for destination of Germany or Sweden as migrants. And meanwhile, they waited. I spoke with one group of young men in that square last Saturday morning, and they had a terrible story to tell. A story of how their village had been terrorized by ISIS and by the Taliban, so that it simply seemed no longer safe to stay. Of how along the way from Turkey to Greece, their boat had been sunk and they'd had to swim for safety. Others from Syria spoke of the warfare and destruction which they'd experienced, seeing their homes destroyed and friends and family killed. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places. There'll be famines. Those words of Jesus in today's gospel, as I wrote on Thursday when I wrote this sermon, seem to ring especially true in our age when almost the whole of the Middle East is engulfed in warfare. But as I now realize, and as we all share too, those words seem especially apposite in the face of all that happened on Friday evening in the city of Paris, the story of young people attending a concert and suddenly finding their friends torn from them by violence and gunfire and bomb explosion, as a family speak of their 15-year-old daughter killed in front of their eyes. And in such a situation, it's easy to despair, to come to the conclusion that really the world is going from bad to worse, and there's nothing to be done but to batten down the hatches, that the world is literally God-forsaken, and that there's nothing that we can do about it. Those refugees from Syria and Afghanistan weren't the only ones on Victoria Square in Athens last Saturday morning. Around the square, there were citizens of Athens sitting in nice wicker chairs at nice wicker tables, gently taking their Saturday morning coffee, as they might have done on any other fine Athens Saturday morning, oblivious also, it seemed, to anything that might be going on around them, to the squalor and sadness and tragedy before their eyes. Their reaction was precisely to say, there's nothing we can do about this, let's drink coffee and ignore it. That's not Jesus' way. He has other words to say too in today's gospel reading. He says, do not be alarmed, this must take place, but the end is still to come. Do not be alarmed. There's something distinctive about the Christian faith among all of the major world faiths, and that is that we take death and destruction seriously. We don't try and hide away from it or airbrush it out of our world view. And we don't say, worry, everything will be fine, there'll be pie in the sky when we die. No. We're part of a world faith which is one which faces death and destruction head on, doesn't try and airbrush it away, looks it in the face and challenges it, tries to make sense of it. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, we follow one who took on himself the worst that the world can throw at anyone, torture, imprisonment, false judgment, death. looked it in the face and overcame it, to give us hope that when we walk through dark places, he has been there before us, that when we walk with dark places, he is there with us and will walk with us through them. As the psalmist puts it, if I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light around me turn to night, even darkness is no darkness with you. Darkness and light to you are both alike. And so this morning, in the face of wars and destruction and terrorist attack and gloom, Jesus says, do not be alarmed, the end is still to come. And the end is the end that God wills, an end which involves light and hope and peace and justice, not an end expressed by warfare and exile and famine. But it's not an end which comes about by itself, not an end which God will somehow magic into existence. God will bring that end about first and foremost through us, through you, through me, enabling us and strengthening us to be the ones who will bring peace and reconciliation to the context in which we're set. Not being like those Athenian coffee drinkers last Saturday morning, idly sitting by and letting the world go hang, but playing our part in our small ways, in our small corner of the world, in witnessing to the things of peace. Hello. In these last months, faced with the crisis which is besetting our continent, this challenge to be the ones who work to bring about God's ends in our world has meant different things for different Christian individuals and groups. For one Christian Anglican orchard farmer in Hungary, it's meant donating a substantial part of his apple harvest to those refugees who've been waiting patiently in Budapest for trains which will take them on the next stage of the journey. For our Anglican brothers and sisters in Athens, it has meant taking food and baby clothes to young mothers caring for their babies on that square, Victoria Square, where I was last week. For our US Anglican brothers and sisters in Germany, or in parts of Germany, it's meant providing German lessons for refugees so that they can more effectively find their home in Germany, and providing them with bicycles and a safe place in which to store them so they can get about and meet the people they need to meet as they look for work. No great shakes, nothing very spectacular, not rocket science, but in their small way, looking death and destruction and chaos in the face and saying no further. The power of God revealed in Jesus Christ is stronger than anything that can be set against us, and we will serve his purposes of peace and justice and reconciliation. For the end is still to come, God's end, to which we look forward and for which we work. And those good people, and many more like them across our continent and throughout our world, work and continue to work to bring about God's ends, however far away they may seem. And that is why the church exists. We exist not just as a group of like-minded people who enjoy coming together to praise God in a way that we find congenial. We exist not just as a group of people who know ourselves as individuals to be on a journey of prayer and spiritual reflection. We exist not just as a group of people who each know our need to be remade and reshaped and transformed in Christ's image. All of that is true. All that expresses some of what we're about. But it's not the whole story. The church exists above all as God's instrument for changing the world around us, working to make it more and more the world he would have it be. Dissatisfied with what we see around us, not just shrugging our shoulders, not just giving in to the general malaise that things are bad and will only get worse, but having a vision together for the world as God wants it to be, for the end he wishes us to attain, and playing our part in small, simple, but telling ways in being witnesses in Christ's name to peace and justice. What that means will be different for each Christian community. It's for the people of that Christian community, of this Christian community, who will know it best. I commend the search. It's for each community, each Christian group, to decide under God where the search will take it. But one other thing. This isn't a separate piece of work, a separate package to our essential work of mission and outreach. It's all part and parcel of the same package. There's an old saying, as I was sharing with the church wardens yesterday, an old saying that a church that lives for itself dies by itself. But a church which is open and responsive to God's calling to serve his purposes in the world, looking beyond itself to decide how in the context in which it's set, that church can be Christ's hands, can be Christ's feet. That will be a church populated by people with vision and spiritual insight, and that will be a church going places, and that will be a church that people will want to join. The words of the collect that we had this morning were very appropriate. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy. Revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed in Jesus Christ. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.